Okay, so we are back after a very long We've Got segment. I'm going to do a little bit of quick news. So in the world of anime news, I want to talk about this new upcoming robot anime, which is literally just called straight title Robot Anime.
I wonder what it's about.
I don't know. Don't really know a whole lot about it other than the basic story outline. Where in the mobile century 8013, it has been 7 millennia since humanity was wiped out on Earth, but the robots are still fighting our battles for us. Just like total annihilation. We are going to follow a bunch of young robots, which is kind of weird because there's going to be no humans in this show, and they're going to do stuff. Now, the funny thing about this show is it's only going to be 15 minutes long each episode. It's being animated in Miku Miku Dance, the free program where people just, make Hatsune Miku and a cavalcade of other characters do
Lots
stuff.
Toho.
Lots of, yeah, oh God, so much Toho. So much Toho. It is being directed by the guy who did Giga Fairies. How do you pronounce that? GD
You don't.
Fairies. You don't
You
pronounce
just
it?
call it fairies and call it a day. Because
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's accurate, but I don't bother trying to say it.
Giddy. So no one knows if this is going to be like serious or
It's like
anything.
we know nothing.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. I mean, this is going to have its own broadcast slot. It's going to be on Niku Niko. It's I think if we're all talking about the need to get rid of the studio system and embrace the more indie side of animation, but minus all the funding from the Yakuza, doing it with Miku Miku Dance could be okay. I've seen some amazing things done with Miku Miku Dance. One of my favorite little things that was done in it was a confrontation between Hatsune Miku and Akita Neru, where Miku is just trying to juggle while Neru is trying to stab her with a sword.
You're gonna have to share that with me, because Neru is kind of
Yeah.
hilarious to me.
She's definitely hilarious in this video. And the one thing I like about it is that the rhythm of her juggling is very well matched to the song. And it looks very natural when she's juggling, which is pretty amazing for a free program.
Yeah.
They could actually get that down right. Actually, you might also know Miku Miku Dance for doing that Toho Smooth Criminal parody. So that's a pretty well-known one.
I think it was also made to do the video of a Happy Robo from Smile Precure doing the dance on top of what looks like the Pallas Athena from Saint Seiya. That was another good one.
In other news, they have finally decided to put out an announcement for Phagma Cobra.
Not that
So
Cobra.
Star and not that
Less
Cobra.
Chrysalada involved.
Unless Sylvester Stallone.
No, this is a no. This is a much more manly Cobra. Space Adventure Cobra. We originally saw a gray prototype of this figure at Summer Wonderfest, I want to say it was this year. And then we heard nothing, because that's how Wonderfests go. And then Winter Wonderfest came by, and we got to see a colored prototype. And it was like, hey, this is actually coming out still. Great. And then pre-order pictures, I think they actually just went up yesterday. And
Yeah.
this guy looks great. The joke I keep making to myself is that between him and Golga 13, we finally have enough men, or the accurate number of men to deal with all the women that are in the Figma line.
I don't think they could because, the Figma line has both Cosmos, Telos, and several Toho characters. So I still think they're outnumbered.
Yeah, it's.
Vastly outmatched.
Yeah. Well, Golga 13 has, like, plot device on his side, so. It's hard to say. It's hard to say.
He has the power of one terrible NES game.
We don't talk about that
Actually,
game.
I actually think they had two video games.
I can't remember. I just remember the one where
Yeah.
you can't skip the sex scene, or else you don't get the health power up.
One of the few times you ever seen Golga 13 smile. Anyway, so This kind of reminds me that a very long time ago, when Figma was starting out, they had teased a Figma Jonathan Joestar, and that never came to
me. I don't even remember that. Wow.
That was really a long time ago.
Was this before they came out, or was it like right when like Nagato and the Haruhi ones were showing up?
I think it was very early on.
Okay.
It just kind of reminds me because, you know, they have a very similar build, the characters do. And I don't think we've seen a Jonathan Joestar yet in the Super Action Statue line.
Not yet, I believe.
Yeah. There's a Joseph Joestar. No Jonathan Joestar. Yeah, any other news?
Nothing in particular, really. It's been oddly quiet, actually, around the New Year's. Other than it's like Sword Art Online is getting Figmas. They look like those characters.
Yeah, they sure do. Mm-hmm. We need some Bodacious Space Pirates Figmas.
More Moiretsu, damn it.
Funny little factoid. So, Momoiro Cloverzette, who are the most enthusiastic and sometimes bizarre idol group in Japan, they used to be the opening act for Megumi Nakajima.
Really?
So yeah, they in a way they're actually her kohai, and she is their senpai. Hmm. So there's a bit of connection between the Macross and the Momoclo.
How about that?
So if there ever is a Macross that has Momoclo songs, I think my friend Richard will die with joy. He'll explode with joy.
I can believe that.
Okay, so let's go on to the next segment. This will be pretty quick. What you been playing?
All right, I'll go first because I haven't really been up to too much. I've got Borderlands 2 on Steam, and the thing is, I played the game through my friend's account previously, and so I played through the game once already, and so I was at level cap level 50, and I decided to screw around with my friend Liz, who I know for a fact has been taking a very slow time beating this game. And so I told her, hey, I finally got this game. We should play together. She's like, great. I just finished the first playthrough. I'm at, like, level 33. That won't be too hard to catch up to. I was like, yeah, I'll see what I can do in a day. And then we started playing the next night. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And I show up on my level 50 character. And she's like, have you just been playing and that's it? What did you do? And I said, yeah, I've been busy. I didn't sleep much.
Well, you did say one day. Mm-hmm. One whole day.
Yeah. But no. It was fun. I'm having a lot of fun doing some of the multiplayer stuff I didn't get to do now. And yeah, that game's fun. It's fun shooting stuff and getting guns and shooting stuff with guns. And that's all I've been doing, pretty much.
All right, so I decided that while I was playing through Mega Man 9, that I was going to break my rule and start playing Mega Man 10.
Hmm.
Because I got tired of the... Well... I just encountered this trap once. I decided that, wow, if you're going to say fuck you to me that hard, I'm just going to stop playing you for a while.
What was the trap, out of curiosity?
Okay, so I'm at Wily's castle. And thankfully, Mega Man 9 only has one castle, unlike the previous games.
Really?
I think it only has one castle. I'm pretty sure it does. Because there was a time with four... Actually, no, it was basically like 3 through 6... They all had the two castles, or the two, like, boss, crazy boss battle stages. So this one, I think, only has one castle. So there's this room where gravity is reversed. You start floating upwards. You can't move normally, though. You have to use your gun to propel yourself left or right, which is kind of a cool idea. You know, it's like, well, I guess it has some recoil. And you just have to, you know, dodge enemies and spikes. So for like two parts of this little section, you have to dodge spikes and get onto a ladder to go up to the next part of the stage. So for the last part of second big corridor, you have to zigzag through the spikes, get the ladder. So I did so. I went all the way to the right and then all the way to the left. I went a little bit past the ladder. I was like, okay, so I'll just reposition myself, get on the ladder. Going all the way to the left triggers one of those little helicopter guys that drops down, grabs you, and drags you into the spikes.
What?
I'm serious.
That's...
So this is what I mean by this is not, you know, proper difficulty. This is just a fuck you trap.
Yeah, that's...
I would not know about this without actually playing that part before. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, screw that. That is...
Yeah.
That is bull.
Now if I was really, like, desperate, I could have quickly switched to Hornet Chaser, the little homing hornets, mm-hmm. and maybe killed that thing before it dragged me to the spikes.
But how would you have known still?
Yeah. Well, you can pause the game and switch really fast if you're, you know, like a speedrunner. So anyway, I started playing Mega Man 10, which, in comparison, feels a little less stupid in places. Admittedly, a lot of the levels don't really feel that fun. They just kind of feel like a slog. And one cool thing is that they actually give you what is DLC in Mega Man 9, where you can play as Proto Man. Mm-hmm. So Proto Man has both a charge shot and a slide. He can also use his shield to block shots if he's jumping. Normally, he can't block anything on the ground because his shield is on his back. Haha. I thought to myself, well, I'm playing as Proto Man. I can't compete on the leaderboards while playing as Proto Man, but I do not care. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, now that I have the things that I had in the previous Mega Man games, what does that take away from my experience with Mega Man 9 or Mega Man 10? Nothing. It takes nothing away from the experience. It's the same friggin' game. Because, I don't know, my friend Carl was trying to tell me, it's like, well, if you design a game around having a slide, then the game designers need to make sure that the player doesn't, you know, just rush through the level and slide everywhere. It's like, you know what? Those games do not have enough places where you can slide anyways. Mm-hmm. So it does not really matter. And the charge shot is really just there for comfort. Because it does the same amount of damage, just 3 bullets. Mm. It's just that feeling, you know, it's like, I got my shot charged. I'm going to the boss stage.
It's like, I'm ready for this shit.
I'm ready for you, Sheep Man. I wasn't ready for Sheep Man. He's actually kind of hard. Yeah, the bosses didn't really feel too memorable. I'm also on the Wily stage in Mega Man 10. And the boss battles for, like, the first castle are the... what I think they're called, like, Weapons Museum or something like that. These little drone things, there's 3 in the boss level. These little drone things descend, and then on this big monitor up there, a picture of an old boss shows up. And they just use whatever weapon they had. Like, the first one was Elec Man, Wood Man, and Gemini Man. So one comes down, fires off Thunder Beam, you know, and you have to kill it. And then it switches off to another one, fires, you know, Wood Shield or whatever. You know, they just kind of go through the 3 or however many left as you go through.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of dull because what I found is that if you have the weapon that they're weak against, it is different for each single little drone thing, though. They die really easily.
Mm.
So it's just like, I don't really, not feeling it because these aren't really like fun boss battles. It's just like, can I hammer on the fire button fast enough to make this thing die fast? So yeah, it's just like, I feel like the whole Mega Man 9 and 10 experience for me has been more out of obligation than really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, they're decent enough games. The soundtrack's all right. They're a lot better than Mega Man versus Street Fighter, which was a huge joke on Capcom's part.
At least you didn't have to pay money for it.
No, but at the same time, I felt like I died a little inside by playing it.
Yeah, dying inside, money. Dying inside, money.
Yeah. It's like, which if you hadn't heard about this, it was on the anniversary of both Street Fighter and Mega Man or something like that.
I think it was just Mega Man specifically.
Yeah. So they decided to endorse a fan game in Game Maker, which is a fine program, don't get me wrong. But It's not very good, the game. It's just like, there's no way to save.
Nope.
It might not recognize your gamepad. For the most part, it usually runs at full screen. You have to kind of tweak it a little bit to get it to run in windowed mode. It doesn't really feel right, as far as like the gameplay is concerned. There's about 2 enemies per level. They're all annoying. And, yeah, you just kind of have to go through and you get a bunch of useless weapons because you're fighting Street Fighter characters.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I do like Bushido Joe a lot, as I like to call him.
I don't remember that. I didn't see
he's
that.
He's the it's in Ryu's level where it's the little Sniper Joe who's got the basket woven hat on, and he slashes back and forth at you.
Oh, I think I remember that now. Yeah, because I went to Ryu stage first. Duh. Yeah, so I feel kind of bad for the guy who made the game, because all Capcom did was slap a long, unskippable logo screen on the game for, like, the anniversary of Mega Man, and put his, you know, technically competent, but, you know, not really that great fan game.
It's competent, but not professional, is what I was
saying. on a national stage. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, and everybody's judging you so harshly, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like another, like, half-assed tribute to Mega Man by Capcom.
Yeah.
Because lately they've just been like, Mega Man wasn't that. This is just this thing that some people liked. We don't care about it anymore because Inafune left the company and we're just going to be pissed off at him and be petty.
I know a lot of people have personally been really mad about how they've just kind of been, you know, throwing Mega Man in the shade, for lack of a better word. Honestly, what agitates me more about Capcom is the fact that every other freaking game they make now has to have Street Fighter in it. Even this one! I'm serious. Like, the last four games they've made have had Street Fighter in it, and I am so sick of seeing those characters.
Tekken versus Street Fighter.
Which is bad.
Yeah.
It was forgettable, basically. I just hope they hurry up and do the other one. No, because that one's called Street Fighter versus Tekken. They're supposed to do Tekken versus Street Fighter, which is going to be the same thing except on the Tekken engine, which means it's automatically going to be better.
I feel like it's not going to work for the Street Fighter characters.
It's going to be very different.
Yeah. It's going to be like Street Fighter EX plus Alpha. No, not really. That game was pretty standard Street Fighter-y anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I finished playing through Spec Ops The Line. I'm playing it through it again on a harder difficulty level. And so this is the kind of game, I'm trying not to spoil it, where on all of the loading screens there's usually tips. You know, like, oh, this kind of weapon works well against this kind of enemy. You can push this button to make your two squad mates do this at this time. But as you go through the game, things start to get a little weird as the story progresses. And at one point I looked down at the loading screen and said, "This is all your fault."
What?
And I was like, oh dear. Because this is definitely a game that tries to punch you in the gut as you play it at an emotional level. I think Yahtzee's review is very apt to compare it more to a horror game in a way, because it tries to play with your perceptions of what's going on. And yeah, it's hard to talk about because I don't want to spoil too much because it's pretty good, all the little twists. But, you know, if at some point, you know, you see somebody coming up to you and saying, "You left me to die," don't get too scared. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's definitely a really good game. I do feel kind of stupid for paying for a little extra for the FUBAR pack, which is just stuff for the multiplayer.
Aww.
But that was the only one they had at the store. I was like, ah, whatever. So yeah, that's pretty much been it for the gaming. It's like, I just want to keep playing it. I just want to see the story again, but now I'm stuck because it's harder. It's like, oh, I can't get past this part the way I used to.
Holy crap, on a quick note, Spec Ops The Line is only $7.50 on Steam right now. I kind of want it.
You should get it, totally.
Well, I'm going to consider it. I'll think about it. Until the end of the day. Anyway, moving on.
Play it, then we can totally do a spoiler-filled
podcast
about it. Okay. So let's talk about what we've been watching, because we had a bit of a break in between.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about a show that ended. And I feel kind of sad that it ended, because I didn't know it was going to end. The Busou Shinki Show.
The ending, it just kind of ended out of nowhere. I still need to watch the last episode, but Feel free to talk about it, because I don't think I'm missing anything particularly complex.
No, basically the whole idea was Hina, the Strahf, and the three other girls came to help out, to basically cheer on Kurata at a Shinki tournament, because Kurata is in the tournament. And she fights against another Strahf unit, who is owned by this famous Shinki collector who has three of each Shinki, you know, one for display, one for play, and one for something else, I forget. He's a creepy guy, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy dude, has a huge mansion, has a scale Shinki town with real running water.
Whoa.
And a waterfall.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, but so during the tournament, one thing I definitely like is that when Kurara goes up against this other Strahf unit, they are in a castle, basically a huge castle, and there are guns and missile launchers everywhere. And as they fight, Kurara gets her wings knocked off. And because she's played a lot of modern military shooters, she immediately jumps onto a turret to go shoot at the Strahf. And I was like, Kurara, you have the heart of a champion. Still loses, but she has the heart of a champion.
Aw. Well, that's what gives her the heart of a champion.
Yeah. And after the fight, because some of the missiles get out of control, and they do fly off and hit the announcers, who are the same announcers from the race. It's like, did they survive? Are they okay? It's like, they don't answer. Anyway. Hina manages to, like, you know, doing a ton of circus to make the missiles go off and hit each other and save the rest of the spectators, who are all Shinkies. There's a number of cameos during the whole scene. And so she gets to talking with the other Strahf unit and this other devil-looking Shinki unit, who asks if she was actually Rosa, the lost Shinki that their master used to have. And she's like, I don't think I am. And she's like, did you know? You know, we could check, because we could just check your serial number. So they trick her into going back to the mansion. And they erase Hina's memories so that the master could have the rare monitor-type Shinki that she is. It's like, wow, this is getting kind of heavy.
That's fucked up.
It is fucked up. And so Arne and the other girls, they go off to save her. And I'll wait until you watch it, because actually it's pretty good. I think it's really... it felt like a proper, like, swashbuckling kind of adventure, you know? It felt like a good amount of action for the show. I did like the interlude where they all get drunk, because Shinkies can get drunk. They can get drunk off of the hard nitro. And apparently, at one point, Lene almost throws up, which only... opens up more questions about Shinkies. It's like, what did she throw up?
Jelly cans.
Yes. They throw up what they drink.
Yeah.
However that works. So, it ended again really abruptly, even in the episode once you watch it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, guys, you could make some more, and I would be okay with that. Because I think this kind of show was pretty robust. It could do, you know, comedy, action... random
creepy
horror shit.
Creepy Minecraft. It's all there. Yeah. It's all there.
Yeah, it's like, you could have had like at least 24 episodes at least.
Mm-hmm. I think Konami finally realized, oh, we have an anime on? Crap, people are going to want toys. We got to put an end to this right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think I saw someone's making just a statue of the characters.
Oh, good. That is exactly what we want.
Which is kind of like, oh, it sort of works, kind of. It's like when you buy a statue of Optimus Prime for Palisades, and then you hate yourself because you bought a statue of Optimus Prime for Palisades. You can have a Devastator bend in the optional variant where he's bending the steel girder. It's like, go away. Go away, you crazy people.
It's like, as someone who likes statues, you're all freaking nuts.
Yeah, those were mostly crappy looking. Mm. So, I need to ask a question. Did you catch up on your MuvLuv?
Okay, I have it all downloaded and ready to go. That is all I'm doing this weekend. Except for working.
Okay, so I will hold off on that until next episode.
That also ended.
Yeah, that also ended. And it ended in a place that left it a little open, because the visual novel for Total Eclipse is coming out soon. which left some people a little irate because they learned that Yuya will not be voiced in the visual novel, which is kind of weird. However, I can tell you about how I've been playing Muvlove, the visual novel.
You should have put that in what you've been playing.
It's not really playing.
Yeah, it is. It's a game.
It's still a game. No, it's not a game.
You're playing an anime.
Yeah, you are playing anime. I do have to say that the, I think it's called RUGP engine that they use, is really optimized for visual novel delivery. Because I'm guessing that the actual engine for the game is not very big, that most of this, the stuff for the game that takes up like the 2.5 gigs worth of game, is the voices and the artwork.
Yeah, that's mostly, it's mostly those voice files, Jesus. Like, I think if you get it without the voice files, the game is like a gig smaller or something. Because they did it something very similar with Tsukihime and the second version of that when that came out.
Yeah. I mean, you can scroll through the text, you can replay any part of the voicing or the voices that you previously saw. You can make it so that it will skip all the text you've already seen. Which will be handy when I go through and do the Mayo route after doing Sumika's route. I'm just going to do the two main routes. I don't know if I'm going to actually play Unlimited, because that is the one manga that was scanlated, the manga version of Marvel of Unlimited. So that's kind of how our local Marvel expert got into it. He read summaries for the light novel versions of Marvel of Extra, or the Unlimited manga, and I guess watched playthroughs of Alternative. Now, Alternative, I heard, actually has even fewer choices and fewer story branches in the first game, so it's basically you are just watching people do a low-budget anime.
Yeah.
It's fun so far. I mean, I think the problem is that I do just want to get to the part with the robots.
Yeah.
Although Extra does have robots in the form of the video game Cyber Legion Valjourn On, which is kind of a weird name, which is their parody of Virtual On.
That
Takuro and his friend Mikoto like to play. I think it's really funny that they're trying to pretend that Mikoto is not a girl, because, you know, she is one of the characters on the main screen, the title screen. Although, given the way that Mikoto acts in the game, I wouldn't be surprised if she forgot she was a girl, because she's kind of weird like that. Spoilers, guys, probably couldn't figure that out, that, you know, Mikoto was a girl. But anyway, that is a big thing with Marvel, if you try not to spoil yourself from me go through the visual novels. But yeah, the only thing that I find annoying is the fact that Takuro has no voice except in flashbacks.
What?
Which is kind of, yeah.
Okay, that's
so
weird.
So when he has flashbacks to being a kid with Sumika, he is voiced.
Well, kid, that's not as bad. It's not like he has a flashback to a day ago and all of a sudden he's talking.
Yeah, but it's like, why doesn't he have a voice as an adult? And I heard there was like a stylistic choice, so you could actually put yourself in the position of being.
They do that with a lot of those visual novels.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little weird once I get to Alternative, because there are shots of him outside of his body, like in the cockpit of the robots, mm-hmm. and it's like, but he still doesn't have a voice, even though he's talking. And he has a personality. You know, he's a bit of a jackass. You know, he's kind of like, you know, your typical lazy dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you know, I feel like I would be more immersed if he was talking, but because he's not like faceless and voiceless or anything like that. Yeah, so I'm going to do Muvlove up and try to do it right. Maybe one of these days they'll actually make a real anime based on Muvlove.
Nah, probably not.
Yeah.
Like, I got my Crisco, I'm good.
Yeah, although I heard the guy in charge of Muvlove did say that there was a reason why the last episode premiered on Christmas Eve. I don't know if that meant something good or something just like, oh, hey, you know, maybe in the story there's something that happened on Christmas Eve. It's like, oh, okay.
Who knows?
Who knows? Anyway, let's move on. Another show that needs to end, but hasn't yet. Girls in Panzer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so pissed off that we have to wait until, like, March.
No, it's just January.
Oh, thank God. Someone said March, and I was like, you have to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah, I don't think they could put it off the same way that Eureka 7 AO was put off. That was, I mean, because, you know, Girls in Panzer is actually popular.
Yeah, and good.
And well-received.
But, yeah. Let's see. What was the last point we talked about this? Did we get to Russians?
We had the first part of the Russian episode.
Okay. Did we get to complain about how ticked off it made that they ended? No, we didn't, because that was the last episode. Where it ended on that terrible cliffhanger. Or this show has a good tendency of ending at bad spots to make you, you know, very interested in what happens next. And at least previously it was all like, oh man, what's going to happen next? I can't wait for next episode. This was the point where everyone on the internet just started screaming, how could you end it there?
This is when they were held up inside the church, right?
Yeah, and then after they start actually attacking the Russians.
Can we talk about how the internet lost its freaking mind when the girls actually sang Katyusha?
Yeah, did they? Because, again, I don't follow anime fandom, so please explain.
There's now a 10-hour-long version of that on YouTube.
Wow.
Just a loop of the Katyusha scene. So the internet kind of lost their minds when they decided to get in touch with their Russian roots and actually sing an old Russian war song as their battle cry.
It's like, I do like that song a good bit, so I didn't mind, but all about 10 hours about
it. I checked with some experts. They did a pretty decent job, actually.
Really?
Pronouncing Russian. Mm. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. A lot better than, say, Asuka's German in Evangelion.
That's not hard.
It's pretty... Yeah. Or any English and, you know...
That's not hard.
Random things. Yeah. I appreciate that they were able to do some interesting things with the following episode, where the way Miho rallies her troops is she does the embarrassing Anglerfist song.
It was very endearing, I think.
Yeah.
The show does a good job of making you really relate to the characters and feel for them, I think. It's one of those cases where, like, after watching a lot of the different anime I've been watching, such as Chaos End and things like that, I am so used to being completely cold and indifferent towards the main character, and it's so refreshing for a show like this where I actively do care. Like, even Robotics Note is guilty of this, where the main protagonist is pretty forgettable. Well, this show, maybe it's by virtue of the fact that even though she is the main character, it does focus a lot on the cast as an ensemble on a whole in comparison.
Yeah, I think it also helped that in these episodes in particular, everyone was really on point with their character. Like, Mako was running around with Sotoko, and Sotoko was trying to insult Mako the entire time, and everything just kind of rolled off her back. Sotoko tried to throw a snowball at Mako, and she just dodged out of the way because she's got drunken fist. Or in this case, low blood pressure fist. Yukari and Erwin. Yes, Erwin.
Yes, my favorite.
Yeah, everyone's favorite. They got to go off and do a little recon themselves, and they got to talking, and Yukari finally found some people that she's really, really friendly with. Because they're all on the same wavelength. They love themselves some tanks and history. Yeah, and this is where we're getting to that awful cliffhanger where it ends with the flag tank on Owari's team. Looks like it just got blown up. But they also managed to, at the same time, shoot the flag tank on the Russian team. And it was like, oh God. Oh God, how does this end? Oh God. And then it's like, okay, we're watching the episode. Listen to that terrible theme song. That theme song really takes me by surprise, but anyway.
The ending or the opening?
The opening.
Okay.
Because it's very at odds with the show's normal soundtrack, mm-hmm. which is all like Hogan's Heroes stuff. Yeah. Yeah, and then it's like, what happened? What happened? The dust clears and... Oh, the other flag tank that on Miho's team survived. Woohoo! Granted, with the whole drama about, you know, Miho school being closed if they, you know, don't win the tournaments.
It's... You kind of have... It's one of those... Yeah, you know they can't lose.
You know they can't lose.
But at the same time, you're like, but what if they lose?
Yeah, but a show that can like really like convince you that what if they do lose? Even though it's like, no, they can't lose because of the main characters. Yeah. Yeah, so that was really good writing on their part. Really good directing there. I did like the little episode they had in between where they introduced, finally... That mysterious Leiji Matsumoto looking girl from the opening.
Along with Jubei-chan.
Yes, along with Jubei-chan. And
the other one.
The other one. Who is less interesting. But and so her name is Nekota. I guess because she always wears little cat ears. She wears Totoro's glasses. Totoro from Captain Harlock. She's actually a weird nerd who speaks in a low voice. And she likes to play an online tank battle game.
Yep.
Which the subtitles I watched translated that to World of Tanks.
Yep, yeah. Same subtitles I saw. I was like, yeah, it's about the equivalent. Just call it that.
Yeah. Yeah. People are like, is that what she really says? Like, no, she didn't say that. She just said a tank battle game. So I like... So that was like really weird and kind of fun that she's like, oh, whoa. Okay, so this is how you're going? This is, oh. All right, then. Yeah.
And we find out that her team for the final tank, is it the tiger? What is it, a tiger tank? I can't remember.
No, I think that was the mechanics team. They got the Porsche tiger.
Okay, but anyway, the tank that team ends up getting, that entire team all played that online game together at the same school but never once knew who they actually were.
Yes.
Which I find oddly amusing.
Yes, and Nekota's online name is Nekodya. Which is like, you know, you calling yourself...
Michael or something.
Michael.
Exactly. It's so bad.
Michael Meow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you spend all day thinking that one up, Nekota? He's like, yeah, I did. Anyway. I appreciate that they were the first to get taken out in the fight.
At the very least, it's not that they just went out, though. They actually were kind of important, though, at the same time.
They were very important. I like how the mechanics team, they think that they're going to make their tank drift.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and they're like, well, if we have some rain and some, you know, some muddy grass, maybe we can make it drift. It's like, yeah, you drift the tanks. It's like, yeah, okay, you guys try to do that. Clutch first, remember.
Yeah, just keep trying. You'll get it eventually.
Yeah, that's kind of where we left off there. It's like, okay, another fight. This time, Miho against her sister, Maho.
Mm-hmm.
Miho and Maho, daughters of Shiho. Yeah, that's their mom's name is Shiho.
Yeah. This show is very creative with names.
No, not really. Anchovy still wins, though. I'm surprised I found anchovy cosplayers.
Really?
Yeah, they want to be little Italian girl with drill hair who gets angry because she lost off screen.
Yeah, but cosplay?
Why not?
It's just, of all things, it's so random.
Yeah. Speaking of dressing up, did you watch the first OVA?
I did not. I didn't realize it was out yet. Oh.
Yeah, it's they try on swimsuits.
Oh, wonderful. How many tanks are there?
There are tanks.
Okay, great.
Well, it's only like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Less than 10 minutes long, so. They just have to go. Miho needs a swimsuit.
Because
they're going to the beach. There's this weird undercurrent of parody to it. It's basically all the characters sort of playing off each other, playing to their own strengths. And, spoilers, but at the end, they all go to the beach, and it's raining. And then it just ends.
Oh. That's pretty terrible.
It was great, though. It's just like, yeah, we're going to the... Oh.
Oh.
They had the tank all prepped out for the beach, so they put a... a sunbathing chair on it and a parasol, and they were all set.
Well, I'm downloading it right now, so
so you can comment on it next time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's all the shows we were watching as of last season.
Well, JoJo's is still going.
Oh, right.
JoJo's has made its switch over to part two. After okay end to part one, some people feel like they're just trying to rush so they can get to part three, mm-hmm. which is the most popular part. I think the problem is just that part one didn't have a lot of meat to its story.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. You know, and it's like they went through all the motions. I felt something for Jonathan's death, but I don't know if it was as powerful as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's really the only main character who's going to die. I will say they really hit the ground running when they moved on to part two, where their biggest asset is the fact that young Jonathan Joestar is a gigantic asshole.
Oh, great.
He is a wonderful bastard. Jonathan Joestar is the kind of guy who, when confronted with an immortal super being, will try to flick him on the ear. And say, touched you. Not touching you, touched you. Even if said immortal super being is the kind that can eat you just by touching you.
Never stop no one.
Yeah, it's always funny to watch Jonathan Joestar because he's a lot more raw and untrained and kind of unfocused than his grandfather, Joseph, or Jonathan. Speedwagon is still there. He's an old man now. He's still narrating every scene like a champ whenever he's on camera. I think they're going to quickly drop Smokey Joe, who is just the hang-on kid character, who even in the original manga didn't do a whole lot. But they did get to show that he's not going to sit down while somebody's being racist to his friend. He's going to beat him up pretty good. With some river-powered spaghetti. Yeah, it's coming up pretty well. I mean, they have a new opening song. Still have the same closing song, and at one point they decided to issue better animation for getting another song by Yes to use in the episode itself.
Hmm.
Where when Joseph reveals himself inside the Nazi base, they play Owner of a Lonely Heart. So, yeah, they're making sure this show is not going to come out in America anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Names like Speedwagon to be... I mean, once they get to, was it part 3 or part 4, it's like, we're screwed anyways.
Well, yeah, part 3, even when it came out here, they had to change some names.
Yeah. So it's going to be the same debacle all over again, probably.
Yeah, which apparently they could get away with it as long as they changed it in the dub and the subtitles.
Mm.
Even the Japanese audio was still the same. For the subbed part. So it's like, I guess that crazy foreign language, you know, doesn't count.
Yeah, language barrier stuff.
The crazy Ching Chong language. I don't get understand him.
Exactly.
So that's kind of in my piece, because you need to watch the Love so we can talk about that wonderful ending.
Is that all you've been watching? Because I've been doing more L-Games and whatnot.
Daba's the leader of the rebels now, and Lesse left. Gable makes more stupid faces. Not the end.
Okay, we caught up?
We're caught up.
Okay.
Daba has the All-Guy mark, too.
Alright.
And it's kind of underwhelming now. Other than the fact that it has a huge gun, it's just kind of like, yeah, he's got a new robot.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. I've actually, because the winter season started as of last week, there are two things that I've watched. Actually, technically three. Three anime that I have since started checking out, and I'm going to be avidly following. Because they're 3 minutes long, all of them. The first is a series called Yama no Susume, which is a show about a high school girl who gets reunited with her obnoxious elementary school friend. And they're going to go climb mountains together. That's the whole freaking show.
That's a noble endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a very fun, cute little show.
And it looks like it's going to be pretty entertaining. In like 3 minutes, it's not much of a time investment at all, so...
No.
The...
Oh, that reminds me, second season of AKB-0048 started up.
Mm-hmm. I need to watch the first season.
Yes, you do. Lots of people do. Now, I was a little worried because they just kind of opened with them doing a concert. And, you know, they're just kind of sitting around, you know, doing their makeup, talking about stuff. And it was like, oh, maybe they're settling in, getting more sedate. And then a bunch of robots came down and kidnapped three of them and put them on trial for terrorism. So then the rest of the team came back to go rescue them by doing an orbital insertion in their robots.
Awesome.
And I felt like, you know what, Kawamori? Why should I ever doubt you ever again? I know you are always going to stay on track with AKB-0048.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to catch it. That's one of the shows I plan on watching this season, is catch up with that and then watch second season of that accordingly. But that's for later. Anyway, we were talking about...
Short anime.
This one is the most interesting because this has been happening more frequently, and on the topic of things like Miku Miku Dance and whatnot.
Is this Inferno Cop?
No. It's actually not. Right. This is a flash anime called Boku no Imoto wa Osaka Okan. And it's basically about a high school student whose sister from Osaka comes to live with him. And she's an Osakan, and so she's weird. And it is basically a show that educates people about Osakan people and why they're so weird. That's the whole show.
If you didn't get that from watching Azumanga Daioh.
No, like this one makes like bullet point lists of like the things Osaka people do and how it's weird.
Oh, I love the prejudice.
It's pretty fantastic. And
So what do people in Osaka do that's weird?
Besides
eating Santa and Nagi.
Like, the one that stood out to me. And by the way, when I did go to Osaka, we never ate that.
Okay.
Is that, you know, when you get iced coffee, like regular Japanese people call it, like, iced coffee and milk is what they just say. Like, iced kohi.
Yeah.
And instead, they call it reiko and fresh. The reason they call it rei is because rei is cold, and they take the beginning part of coffee and just call it ko.
Huh.
And they just call milk fresh because it has the sh, and that is enjoyable to say. And like they call parking lots motor pools, but in regular conversation they don't really use it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a stupid show, but the combination of how awkward the flash animation looks and how educationally enlightening it is, I think it's worth checking out at least once. The last one, I think this one is probably going to be the most entertaining of the bunch.
Inferno Cop.
No.
No.
It's a series called Mangirl. And
oh, this show.
Yes. It's about these four girls who work for a company, and they are starting a manga publication. And it's one of those series where it kind of offers a little bit of insight. It's one of those shows disguised as an educational show, but it's cleverly hidden because it's behind all these moe cute girls, so you don't realize you're learning everything. But it says, okay, so in a regular month, if we sell, like, a 500 yen issue, we'll make about 25 million yen. But because of the cost of production and also additional fees for editing and printing and all that, we'll actually be down 6 million yen. But we'll make money back when we print the trade paperback versions of a very popular manga later on. And stuff like that. There's four girls in the series. The head character, who is just super honcho and is actually kind of pretty incompetent. One normal girl, I think that's her only notable trait. One girl who's only there because they keep offering her snacks and she really likes snacks. Like, the way they got her to join the group is they left a trail of snacks in the hallway in hopes of catching someone.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
No, it is literally exactly that. It is exactly that.
No, James Wood, you cannot be a manga artist.
And then
go back to Videodrome.
And the other girl is just a girl who loves manga who always has a teddy bear. And she's off. She's very polite but very blunt. And she's like, "Well, considering this is a new starting manga company, I don't think we'll last very long. But I intend to work hard while we are here." And yeah, 3-minute issues, wonderful. Or 3-minute episodes, very fast. But oddly entertaining group of characters.
I heard some people complaining about this show just because of how they chose to keep the title as it is.
Well,
because it's a little weird.
What, you mean, what would they change it to instead? I'm a bit confused.
Well, you're calling something Man Girl, you know?
Oh, well, those are dumb people who laugh at fart jokes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I read it.
They were thinking of calling it like Man Gal. You know, like a gal.
Mm. Well,
to keep the pun.
If people want to, they can change the name, I guess. It basically means the same thing, so.
That reminds me of one thing before we end this episode. I watched the first episode of Cuticle Detective Inaba.
Mm-hmm.
Show is kind of stupid. It's trying really hard to be very madcap and zany and kind of just throwing jokes out there and hoping some of them stick.
I saw the promo image and I was just like, I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. It's like, okay, so this is this pretty boy. He's got dog ears. He's got a hair fetish. They explained that he had an older brother who's also, you know, a dog person who had beautiful white hair and he wants to see him again. He has two assistants. One's a young boy who's always talking about how he's poor. The other is this cross-dresser who looks like a girl, sounds like a girl, and is basically looks like Louise from Gun Double O,
which is great, confusing.
But he has the power to poke Inaba, that's the main guy, in the back a lot, and he will turn into his sexy werewolf form. Where he's like got longer hair and a tail, and he can use hair to give himself superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
But his main bad guy is this. He's a small sheep called the Don. There's just a lot, like the whole thing about it is that him being a small sheep is basically the whole joke about him.
Uh huh.
Like that's supposed to be the ever-present joke, is that he's a little sheep guy. Who whines a lot and can eat money and then pull it back out of his mouth and now it has his face on the money instead. Which is weird.
What a useful ability.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I'm keep watching it because it doesn't even seem to be really, you know, so bad it's good. It's just sort of like, yeah.
This is so forgettable.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to sell a lot though.
More than likely. It's got a trap in it. That means it's going to sell.
Yeah, probably. So, that's been kind of our catch-up after the winter break for the Veef and Deef show. All right, so if you want to check us out, you can follow us on Twitter. We have a combined Twitter, which is just at Veef and Deef, all one word. I have my own Twitter. I am at VF5SS. You have a Twitter name, but you like to usually just put it in the show notes.
It's
and I
too
also
freaking
put the,
long and I can't spell it.
You can't spell it, right? I also put the Twitter contacts in the MP3 file itself, so if you look at the comments, it scrolls by your MP3 player, you will see these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, so we're gonna stop and see you guys next time. Okay,
bye-bye.
Ready?